In the early 2000s, Iranian expat Hossein Darakhshan, from his adopted home of Canada, helped inspire a network of dissident bloggers throughout the Iranian diaspora. An influential critic of both the Iranian government and its supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, he was dubbed the blog father of Iran. Years later, Darakhshan, his sympathies changed, grew far less critical. And in 2008, he returned to Iran, where he was promptly imprisoned and is now on trial, facing a slew of charges, including, according to reports by the BBC, quote, collaborating with enemy states, creating propaganda against the Islamic regime, and insulting religious sanctity. News came this week that prosecutors in Iran are seeking Darakhshan's execution. Newsweek correspondent Maziar Bahari found himself in a similar situation last year when he was imprisoned and tortured in Iran for 4 months, and then, after a media campaign waged by his employer and his family, was suddenly released. Bahari told us that Darakhshan might not be so lucky.
Hossein Darakhshan is a clear case of an internal battle between the Revolutionary Guards and the Ministry of Intelligence. Allegedly, he was promised by Ministry of Intelligence that he could go back to Iran without any problem. But the Revolutionary Guards, they were the people who arrested me. And they also arrested Hossein in order to teach the Ministry of Intelligence a lesson that they can do whatever they want to do.
And fundamentally, the Iranians don't recognize dual citizenship. So the fact that Darakhshan has an Iranian passport, as far as they're concerned, renders his Canadian-ness irrelevant.
That's what the Iranian government and the Revolutionary Guard say. In my case, and in case of many other dual citizens, including Roxana Sabri, if the second country of that person, in my case Canada, in Roxana's case the United States, if they're vocal about their citizens, then the Iranian government listens and reacts to the actions of the foreign government. Iran really wants to be a legitimate government internationally. I think that Hossein Darakhshan's family should have been vocal from the beginning, because only people who have had a campaign for them have been released.
Darakhshan now faces a death sentence for doing nothing more than communicating with dissidents. That doesn't sound like the activity of a government that craves legitimacy.
They want to teach a big lesson to all the people who are thinking about cyber activities in Iran that, you know, we are dealing with you like a criminal. Hossein, the only thing he did was criticize the Iranian government in the past. Before his arrest, for 2-3 years, he was very complimentary about Ahmadinejad. And he actually said that Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, the founder of the revolution, was one of the greatest men in history.
So he's kind of an unlikely target for the anger of the regime.
Well, the problem with this regime is that we don't know what is likely and what is unlikely. It's sometimes cynically pragmatic, sometimes it's ideological, and sometimes totally irrational. The Iranian government thinks that its survival is in creating an insecure atmosphere for the people inside Iran and also make itself unpredictable in the international scene.
We don't know who the prime actors are and what their motives are, but if it is to intimidate the diaspora and Iranians living in Iran from in any way connecting with the dissident community, isn't this apt to have exactly the opposite effect?
You're right. The Iranian government acts like a desperate person and just considers its short-term interest. But it can have really negative consequences for Iran and also for the regime that is running Iran right now.
You said approximately the same thing in an op-ed in the New York Times, an open letter to the Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader, imploring him to free journalists.
Yeah.
Who was the audience for that? I'm going to assume that the Ayatollah doesn't, you know, spend his mornings over coffee flipping through the New York Times.
Well, that article was translated into Persian, and it was on all the Persian websites. I'm not sure whether Ayatollah read it or not, but, you know, I don't have his personal address, so I couldn't send it to him. But my point in that open letter to Khamenei was that if you allow criticism, it's not only good for the country, it's good for you. It guarantees your own survival.
You have been in Darakshan's place. What is he likely experiencing right now in prison?
My interrogator used to tell me that one morning I wake you up, I put you on a chair, I put the noose around your neck and just kick the chair off your feet. And I'm sure that Hussein is going through the same thing, a lot of psychological as well as physical pressure. Basically, they're going to make his life hell for him.
Will they execute him?
I don't think so. I think they're going to change their decision and maybe they give a 15-year or 25-year sentence, which is still a very harsh sentence for someone who blocked, someone who did not use violence, someone who did not do anything illegally.
Mazyar, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.
Mazyar Bahari is an Iranian-Canadian reporter for Newsweek. He was jailed and tortured in Iran from June to October of 2009.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.